It's 10:21. The board has just returned from recess. The meeting will continue after a roll call. Dr. Bustillo.
Here.
Mr. Leone.
Here.
Dr. Hyde.
Here.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Barton.
Here.
Dr. King.
Here.
Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Ms. Bryant.
Here.
Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Dr. Sinish.
Here.
And my name is Judy Chepius, and we are also joined by Mark Harris, AAG. Dr. Bustillo, the meeting's yours.
Okay, we are on agenda item 9C, preliminary reviews. First one is DG.
This matter is my case, and I believe, DG, are you present?
Yes, Mindy, I am.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So the summary on this is DG was formally charged with two counts of DUI and two counts of extreme DUI on July 15th of 2024. He self-reported the charges to us on 7/19/24, which was within the 10-day regulatory requirement. Due to the blood alcohol level, the board reviewed the matter at the August 2024 meeting, and he voted to continue the matter until the court case was resolved. DG then received several continuances while he waited for his court case to be transferred to Veterans Court. He did have that initial court appearance. It took several months for that to occur, and he had his first appearance at that court on February 19th. But apparently, I don't know much about the Veterans Court, and he might be able to describe that, but it was just an in-person declaration in front of the judge. But he was subsequently told by his VA rep that the Veterans Court was pleased with his self-care and maintaining his sobriety through the VA rehab and counseling that he has pursued on his own. His next court date is tomorrow, and he expects that to be his final sentencing appearance. A little bit of background about him. He moved to Arizona from Washington in 2021. He received his Arizona PT license by universal recognition from Washington State. He has practiced as a physical therapist assistant since 2014, and he states that he has no other previous arrests and is working PRN in an acute comprehensive rehab setting. He has, because there were so many months in between the last time you saw this matter, he has provided a letter to you explaining what's occurred since the last reporting in August. That was attachment one. And he is currently participating in an evening intensive outpatient recovery program, which is 3 days a week, 3 hour sessions, and a one-on-one counseling program with a VA psychologist. He did provide a letter from his EIOP counselor for your review as well. As I mentioned, given the results of the VA's of his blood alcohol level, and this is a continuation of a preliminary review, it's requested that you determine what action, if any, that you would like to take in this matter. It should be noted that he has been responsive to all board staff requests for information, as well as he's proactively contacted me with the status of his court case. And I would say over the last 6 months, I've observed a genuine commitment to his sobriety and rehabilitation as it relates to issues dealing with that may have led to his arrest. He maintains his sobriety, continues with his intensive addiction psychiatric treatment through the VA. This is for your review.
Great, thank you. DG, are you willing to answer any questions from the board?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for him?
Yeah, DG, I just wanted to see the IOP that you're going through. Is it specific to addiction, like alcohol addiction or anything, or is it kind of just a mental health program in general?
It's more addiction aspect. It covers broad spectrum drugs and alcohol.
Okay. Thank you.
And then mental health is more clarified through the VA.
Got it. And is that because you mentioned you were also seeing somebody one-on-one? Is that what that pertains to?
Yeah, I've been doing that for quite a bit of time over years for PTSD group and one-on-one.
Okay. How do you feel like that's been going? Do you feel like it's helping?
No, it's been outstanding. And that unfortunately lapsed quite a, not quite a bit, but for a short period of time after I moved to Arizona, got reset up with the Veterans Association here.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
DG, it's Dr. King. Are you working full time?
PRN.
Okay. Yes, okay. Thank you. What supports do you have in your life to help you stay on this path of recovery?
Well, at this point right now, I have 263 days sobriety, which has been great. Back on task with that. I've increased my sober support group quite a bit down here with the recovery center that I'm at. Dealing with lots of other things on the back end with the VA has been very helpful. I also have reconnected with the veterans group, PTSD therapy that's been very beneficial in the last year, as well as continued meetings and mentoring from certain aspects of AA.
Do your friends and family in the area as well?
My direct family, yes, and friends.
Thank you.
So I'm not sure how others feel, but I'm inclined to take no action.
Second. That's a motion.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
On these kind of cases, what we want them to do is get the help that they need, and it looks like DG is doing that.
Yep.
So
agreed.
Yep.
Who did the second?
Kelly King.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the vote?
Yes.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to take no action against DG's license. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
And Dr. King?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Good luck to you, DG. I hope things go well for you.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, best of luck.
Thank you.
And then to agenda 9D, JB.
I believe JB, he was on earlier. JB, are you present?
Yes, I am present. Thank you.
Hi. The board received a medical malpractice settlement notice in October of 24 regarding JB. The settlement was paid out by JB's carrier as a result of his, quote, failure to monitor, end quote, while a patient ran on a treadmill and who then fell, sustaining injury. In addition, JB answered no to question 3 on his 2024 renewal application, and that question is, have you ever had a malpractice judgment? Have a lawsuit currently pending for malpractice or entered into a settlement from a malpractice suit? JB has provided a written statement for your consideration, and the patient's medical record and incident report completed by JB was also provided for your review. During the conversation with me, he confirmed he was aware that a patient had filed a lawsuit against him at the time he completed his renewal application. A limited medical record review revealed clinical assessment and documentation deficiencies in key elements, including but not limited to medical history taking, social environmental factors documented, a history of previous use and comfort level running up to 8 miles per hour on a treadmill, lower extremity range of motion with specific measurements, strength scoring of lower extremities and core strength, flexibility, special tests, specific goals for the plan of care. The board is requested to either take no action or vote to open a case for further investigation, citing a potential violation of ARS 32-2044-4, engaging the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist, and or ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate records. And based on his response on his 2024 renewal, you may also wish to consider a potential violation of ARS 32-2044-3, obtaining or attempting to obtain a license by fraud or misrepresentation. This case is for your review.
Jay Bailey, are you willing to answer questions from the board?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Does anyone have any questions? You're muted, Kelly.
Thanks. I have one. I'm just curious, you know, how, since after going through this, tell us a little bit about how your practice has changed, if at all.
Thank you. So since going through this, I've just made sure to be extra cautious whenever I'm doing specifically treadmill assessments for running gait, and making sure I'm covering all the bases with respect to making sure somebody's comfortable with not only running on a treadmill, but comfortable operating a treadmill. I think I'm answering your question with that. Let me know if you have any further anything that you want me to clarify.
Where are you working now?
So I started my own business called Push Through Performance, and it's been in operation for 2 years up in North Scottsdale.
Okay. How many patients do you have at a time?
I see patients on a one-to-one basis, and it's anywhere between 6 to 8 patients a day.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is it mostly patients kind of in a younger population?
I would say my average patient is probably in the mid to upper 40s.
Okay. I know as far as the incidents concerned, one of the issues you had brought up was that the patient didn't put on the safety strap while they're on the treadmill. Do you have any change in like your policy as far as they have to make sure that they're wearing something like that now?
Exactly. And that was also one of the other policies that I put into place after the incident, because I wanted to make sure. I did offer for the patient to wear it, but she chose to not wear it. So just moving forward, one of the things, and if they're going to use a treadmill, is that I will require the emergency strap.
Have you taken CEUs for documentation since this occurred?
No, I haven't. I didn't think documentation was an issue until I heard the complaints.
I have enough concerns over the documentation and the problem to move to open a case.
Okay. Second.
Dr. Bustillo, what allegations are you moving forward with?
Well, I really feel like patient came in with acute low back pain and likely of an acute discogenic complaint. And within 4 days, he has her running on a treadmill at 8 miles an hour, which is fairly fast. Even though that's a self-selected speed, I feel like he should have been much more cognizant of pounding on a spine that was somewhat fragile at that point. And he has some documentation about weakness in her leg. Is he looking at her running mechanics? Is he, looking at how that leg might be not, performing up to up to what it should be able to do.
So then, Karen, are you comfortable with 32-2044 for engaging in substandard care.
Substandard care and medical records, yes.
And failing to maintain adequate records. Okay.
I can answer any questions that are needed regarding that.
Well, we need to escalate this if we are going to get into substantial questions.
Okay.
And you do not want to consider then 2044-3, the manner in which he filled out his renewal?
I think it's part of it, and I'm happy to include it.
Okay.
And that's where I disagree with you, Dr. Mustillo, because I'm reading the question we asked. Have you ever had a malpractice judgment against you? The answer is no. Have a lawsuit currently pending for malpractice? The answer is no. Or entered into a settlement for malpractice? By the time he answered the question, the correct answer to those questions are no.
I think it was yes on do you have one pending? Because it was...
No, it's we ask if we have a lawsuit pending.
That's true. Well, do we know if they filed? I thought I was under the impression they'd filed.
I can answer that question. So there was no lawsuit actually pending. There's only a request to retain records. This was something that I consulted with my insurance representative with, as well as my attorney. So they both agreed that there was no lawsuit pending.
So I'm happy to take that one off, mm-hmm. but I really believe that we are looking at potential substandard care.
I would agree with that. I think Mr. Greer is right then. I think, yeah, we probably need to take that one off, but otherwise it makes sense.
Mindy, do you know the note that's in the documents? Is that an initial evaluation or is that just a daily like follow-up note?
I think she was only seen one time. I don't know if that's the evaluation or if that was just extracted as the actual treatment note.
That's an evaluation.
It's an evaluation. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I would agree with you, Dr. Postillo. There's a lot missing. If this is an initial evaluation that if care needed to be handed off, I just don't think it has everything that it would need.
All right.
Are you going to want to see any more records or are you good with just the one?
I'd potentially like to see at least maybe three records, three charts.
So this one and two more.
Yeah. Just to get an idea of what does the actual documentation look like in full.
Can you provide a little bit more guidance? Do you want, evaluation, treatment, discharge, like a case?
Yeah, I mean, potentially a case if that's available, with initial evaluation, follow-up notes, progress notes, or revals, discharge note if possible.
And do you want any particular diagnosis?
I don't know, Dr. Bustillo, I would maybe ask you on that just because I know,
Well, I think another low back pain would be reasonable. Okay. Dr. Hike, do you have an additional one, maybe? Hip?
Yeah, I think low back pain or knee pain would be great.
Yep.
Okay.
I just wanted to gain some clarification, if that's possible.
The board will definitely, board staff will definitely make all of this more clear as time goes on, but we are going to do more investigation.
Yes, ma'am.
Any further discussion or direction?
Are you ready for the vote?
Yes.
It's been moved and seconded to open a case against JB citing potential violations of ARS 3220444 and 3220440. And direct staff to review at least three additional records with specifics identified verbally.
It was two records.
Two records?
Is what I understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Two records. Okay. So moved and seconded to open a case against JB citing potential violations of ARS 3220444. And 3220440 and to direct staff toward additional, at least two additional records reviews in the investigation. Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
That motion passes. JB, board staff will be in touch with you about next steps.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
You too. And the next complaint is with CS.
And CS, are you on the call? I got the feeling you would not make it today. This is also a preliminary review for CS. He was arrested on November 25th of 2024 on suspicion of DUI with a subsequent blood alcohol level reported as 0.124. He did report the charges to us on 11/26, which was in within the 10-day regulatory requirement. And he stated at that time this was his first DUI offense. He did provide a written statement for your consideration, and he provided the arresting documents as well. He met with his attorney last Friday, so that didn't make it into my report, but verbally, he does plan to plea to one of the three charges, and he expects that he'll receive a penalty of the mandatory minimums through his attorney, basically. His attorney says those mandatory minimums will probably include a fine, one day in jail, alcohol screening, and mandatory courses, as well as an interlock installed on his vehicle for 6 months. He did not respond to me when I asked when his next court appearance would be, so I'm not really sure when he's due back to court. So the board is requested to determine if you're going to take any action in this matter. Case is for your review.
This is Mr. Greer. I would move that we take no action.
Second.
Any other discussion?
It's been moved and seconded to take no action against CS. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
That motion passes.
And our next review is QM.
All right, I believe QM and his attorney are both on the call this morning.
All right, point of order. Good morning.
Point of order, I believe I need to recuse myself.
Let the record show that Dr. Hike has recused.
All right. On his 2024 PTA license renewal, QM answered yes to the question, have you ever had a malpractice judgment against you, have a lawsuit currently pending for malpractice, or entered into a settlement from a malpractice suit? He disclosed a malpractice claim that was filed against him in 2023. He and his attorney provided a written description of the incident, as well as the opinions of two expert witnesses, which was provided for your consideration. QM has since been dismissed from the malpractice lawsuit. This matter is before you to determine whether to open a case or to take no action.
Good morning, members of the board. Lynette Odom. I'd like to give a statement before I turn it over to the board if they have any questions for my client, if that's okay.
Sure.
Thank you. So thanks for the opportunity to speak today on behalf of my client, QM. As we just heard, the reason we're here today is because my client's license was up for renewal in July of 2024. One of the questions asked if there were any judgments, settlements, pending lawsuits. At the time of this licensing renewal, my client was involved in a lawsuit, as we heard, was filed in May of 23 against him and others, at the, including the Core Institute. Importantly, however, a month after my client reported this license renewal, he was dismissed from the lawsuit with prejudice, meaning he can't be brought back into the lawsuit. Now, the lawsuit itself has been settled, and my client's dismissal occurred before the settlement of the case, and his dismissal was not a term or condition at all of the settlement. Based on this, I would ask the board not to take further action. While I believe my client's dismissal is enough to warrant the board to take no action, I would like to provide the board with a few more details and context about the lawsuit itself. So substantively, this case was very defensible. The underlying facts, if I can summarize them, are as follows. The patient in this case had been in physical therapy for a while. It was noticed that he was a fall risk at the first appointment due to balance issues and weakness, but importantly, he had no history of fainting. Over the course of his PT sessions, the patient was making improvements, and on the date in question, the patient had warmed up, was ambulating around the clinic with my client, and on the way to the parallel bars, patient said he needed to take a break and leaned against a table, which was completely stable. My client offered him a chair. Patient declined, and my client was watching the patient while he took a break. And as someone called his name from behind, he momentarily turned his head, and the patient unexpectedly fainted, falling forward. Now, the plaintiff in this case filed a lawsuit claiming that the standard of care required the PTA, my client, to have hands and eyes on the patient while he was resting stably, based on him being a fall risk. Now, during the progression of the lawsuit, we showed that the standard of care requires direct attention and possibly hands-on on a fall risk patient while they're ambulating or exercising while standing, but does not require eyes and hands on the patient who is resting on a stable position, as was the case here. Now, in particular, this patient had a history of taking rest breaks. He was very deconditioned. Never had any issues, or there was never any reason to think that this time would be anything different. Again, patient had no history of fainting. Throughout the lawsuit, the patient admitted in this case that he felt good, strong, stable the day in question, had no inclination that he would faint or that anything was wrong. Additionally, the appropriate mechanisms were in place to address fall prevention, to include doing a lot of sitting exercises in the parallel bars, ensuring that the PTA or the PT were with the patient at all times while ambulating or exercising upright, notifying other staff that he was a fall risk. So every reasonable precaution in this case was taken. Now, lastly, I'll conclude with this. The lawsuit has strong expert support from Dr. Hike, who is a respected member of this board, and PTA Jane Jackson, both longstanding PT professionals here in Arizona. The experts concluded that while the therapist must be hands-on and visually engaged while a fall risk patient is ambulating or exercising, there is no requirement for constant hands-on support or unbroken visual contact while a patient is resting in a stable position, and that it was within the standard of care for my client to turn momentarily while the patient was resting. I should also note my client was only with the patient at the time. He had no other patients, I guess I should say it that way. Given these facts, I respectfully ask the board to take no further action. And again, my client is here today to answer any questions that the board may have. Thank you.
Thank you. I think based on everything that I had read previously, I move that we take no action on QM.
Second.
Second.
I will credit Dr. King with that second, Monica.
King, you said?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the vote, Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to take no action against QM. Dr. Vecchio?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Recused.
Oh, you're right. My apologies. Dr. Hike is recused. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our question now is, do we open a complaint against the physical therapist, Catherine Zwanziger, who did not report on her 2024 renewal that she was involved in a lawsuit?
Yes, I think that's our standard. So I would move that we open a complaint.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Important to be consistent when we can.
Are you planning to cite 32-2044-3?
Yes, thank you. I was just looking for the number. Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Who did the second?
I think it was Mr. Barton. Yeah.
I did second it. So if I get credit, I'll take it.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm one step further behind Monica. So who made that motion? Was that Dr. King or Dr.
Dr. King?
Dr. King.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to open a case against Catherine Zwanziger, PT, citing potential violation of ARS 32-2044-3. Dr.
Vecchio? Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Recused.
My apologies. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, moving on to J.I.
All right, I'm not sure if J.I. was able to join us this morning. J.I., are you on the call? Don't believe so. Okay. On his 2024 Arizona PT license renewal, J.I. answered yes to the question, have you been the subject of disciplinary action by a professional association or post-secondary educational institution? J.I. disclosed that he was disciplined by the Nevada Physical Therapy Board in 2005 for not notifying the board of a work address change. The Arizona board does not have any documentation that this has been disclosed previously. J.I. answered no to the question about discipline on his initial Arizona PT license application in 2020, as well as on his 2020 and 2022 Arizona PT license renewals. J.I. provided a brief written summary and also provided emails between board staff and J.I. regarding his license application and renewal in 2020 for your consideration. The board is requested to determine whether to open a case or take no action.
This is Dr. King. I move that we take no action.
Second.
Any other discussion?
It has been moved and seconded to take no action against J.I. Dr. Vecchio?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
That motion passes. It should be added for the record that Dr. Hike rejoined the meeting after case QM ended.
And then on SB.
All right, SB is on the call this morning. SB, can you hear us?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Okay, morning. All right.
On his 2024 PT license renewal, SB answered yes to the question, have you ever had a malpractice judgment against you, have a lawsuit currently pending for malpractice, or entered into a settlement from a malpractice suit? He indicated that this was a deliberate indifferent suit filed by an inmate, not a malpractice suit. SB provided a written letter to the board with additional information for the board's consideration. This matter is for your review to determine if a case will be opened or to take no action.
Are you willing to answer any questions, SB?
Sure. Can I make one statement, or do you want me to just take
sure.
the questions first? When I filled out the application, you know, when I talked to in-house counsel, they said it's not a malpractice suit. It's a deliberate indifference suit. And several of us in the medical hub were named in the suit. But I decided to say yes because I wanted to be, I guess, forthcoming with the board. And I disclosed, at the time of renewal, I disclosed everything I knew and I had. Mm-hmm. As of after 2 weeks ago, after I talked to Dr. Sinish, I called the medical director there and asked them if anything else had come from the suit, and he said no. So whatever the inmate was looking for, you know, we filed the suit against several of us for some type of gain. It was either dealt with or closed out. And that's all I really know at this point.
Thank you. I move that we take no action.
I agree.
Okay.
Second.
Dr. Bastillo, can I ask you one question on that?
Sure.
In the future, so a deliberate indifference, is it still a good idea? I'm not saying I'm hoping I get another suit in the future, but if something like that comes up, is it still valid to click yes on the box and then disclose during renewal?
I'm going to defer to Ms. Chepius or Mr. Harris.
Yeah, and I'm happy to jump in, Judy. I appreciate the question, and what I would ask is that you do exactly what you did in this case, and that, you know, is consult with your superiors. And from time to time, the question may change on the application and the renewal application. So I would just ask that you read the question very carefully. And then if you still have any questions, you're more than welcome to, you know, contact board staff. They may or may not be able to answer that, but, you know, it is an option.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Sure.
One question for clarification, please. I might have to start having you all take a number to second a motion. who made and seconded that motion?
I made it.
Okay.
I second.
Okay. Thank you.
Kelly King. Yeah.
Bastillo and King, Monica. Okay. Thank you for that. So it's been moved and seconded to take no action against SB. Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you for being here, SB.
Thank you. Am I free to go then?
Yeah.
You are.
Yes.
Thank you, members of the board. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And then we are on to SC.
All right. SC, I believe, is on the call this morning. SC, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. SC, PTA self-reported within the 10 working day regulatory requirement that she was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and assault on December 19th, 2024. She accepted a plea deal in which the disorderly conduct charge was dropped. She was ordered to pay a fine, underwent screening, and was assigned to a diversion program for domestic violence. SC has already started the diversion program and as of today has completed 3 sessions. She said she has her 4th later this afternoon. She denies having any prior criminal record. The Arizona Board of Fingerprinting has granted her a good cause exception for her level 1 fingerprint clearance card. This matter is for your review to determine whether to open a case or to take no action.
So Dr. King, I move that we take no action.
Second.
Second.
Any further discussion?
It's been moved and seconded to take no action against SC. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
That motion passes.
And last of our preliminary reviews, AV.
All right. I know AV was planning to attend. AV, are you on the call this morning? Maybe he wasn't able to make it. Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. All right.
Sorry, morning, I didn't know how to unmute that. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, AV. AV PTA was charged with DUI on January 9th, 2025 and notified the board within the 10 working day regulatory requirement. His BAC was not revealed as part of the plea deal. He completed an alcohol screening and was ordered to pay a fine and take 36 hours of online courses. AV has already started taking the courses. He has completed traffic survival school as well as the first module of the online courses. And he has been very compliant with sending me updates as he completes each of his courses. AV does not have any future court dates related to this matter scheduled, and he has not had any prior DUIs. This matter is before you to decide whether to open a case or to take no action.
Thank you.
I was just going to say I would move to take no action.
Second.
Any further discussion?
It's been moved and seconded to take no action against AV. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Good luck to you, AV.
Thank you, members of the board. I appreciate it.
There are no items under 10 and under number 11. We have A, old business, case 2408, Eric Mariachi, PT.
So at its April 23rd, 2024 meeting, the board opened a complaint against Eric Mariachi, PT, based on an NPDB report that Mr. Mariachi was summarily suspended from clinical practice from his then employer on June 30th, 2023. And I quote, due to concerns of suspected misconduct that adversely affect or could adversely affect the health and welfare of a patient or staff member. The board cited a potential violation of ARS 3220.44.12, failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics of the physical therapy profession. As it relates to Principle 1, a physical therapist shall respect the rights and dignity of all individuals and shall provide compassionate care. And Principle 11, a physical therapist shall respect the right, knowledge, and skill of colleagues and other healthcare professionals. At its August 27, 2024 meeting, the board conducted an initial review in case 408 and voted to invite Mr. Mariachi to an informal hearing. Mr. Mariachi, through his attorney, Sarah Stark, declined the informal hearing and requested that the case be referred for a formal hearing. In the interim, Mr. Mariachi and Ms. Stark requested an informal settlement conference pursuant to 41-1092, which was held on January 8, 2025. As a result of the settlement conference, board staff drafted a consent agreement that was signed by Mr. Mariachi on February 19, 2025. The consent agreement includes probation for 12 months with the possibility of early termination after successful compliance, and the terms include educational intervention training consisting of a comprehensive professional boundaries program, such as or equivalent to PB24 extended course offered by PBI Education, and obtain a post-course accomplishments, impressions, and recommendations letter, or the Probe Ethics and Boundaries Program, achieving a grade of unconditional pass and followed by the Probe Plus Program. The signed consent agreement is provided for the board's review and discussion. The board may accept the signed consent agreement or remand the matter to formal hearing.
Thank you. I saw Ms. Stark on the call. Is there a statement or comment that you'd like to make?
Thank you, Madam President. No, we just asked that the board accept the signed consent agreement at this time. If I'm available for any questions you may have too. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I move we accept the signed consent agreement.
Second.
I think we're ready.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to accept Mr. Marchi's signed consent agreement. Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. We are on to board business and reports.
Okay, so that's always a quick transition from number 11 to number 12.
I bet.
You'd think I'd be ready for it. the first item before you under the board reports is the 2025 NPTE policies and the 2024 jurisdiction pass rate report. So at its December 2024 meeting, the FSBPT Board of Directors approved the 2025 NPTE policies, and the policies were provided by the FSBPT in a track changes format for ease of review. The policy changes from my review seem to focus on the changes to the alternate approval pathway process that Arizona is already aware of and has already experienced. The approved policies will become effective on March 23rd, 2025. And in addition to that, the 2024 NPTE jurisdiction pass rate report was made available, and it's provided for your review. Happy to answer any questions.
I'm glad you provided the past report. I found it very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I did too. It's interesting what you can find when you click around. past years are available. I don't know if the board would like that brought back, see past years, or just move forward.
I think moving forward's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then if no other questions, we can move to the next one. And I will implicate Mr. Harris in this one. The board received a letter from the Attorney General's office, and the letter was supplied in accordance with rules changes by the Arizona Supreme Court. So the email that Mr. Harris provided prefacing the letter itself, as well as the letter, were provided, as I believe they give a clear explanation as to what the letter is and why we've received it. So, Mr. Harris, happy to hear from you if you have anything to add to that.
Thank you, Judy. Madam Chair, members of the board, as Judy mentioned, this past year there were a number of changes to our code of ethics, our being for, you know, Arizona lawyers. A couple of them specifically pertain to public lawyers, government lawyers like myself and my office. One of those changes mandated that we notify our client agencies on an annual basis, or the new rule doesn't say annually, but we will be doing it annually, of the types of services that we provide you. I attempted to articulate that in the letter that I provided Judy. And as I indicated in my email, basically there's no change. You know, there's no surprises, or there's nothing added or omitted from the types of services that not only that I provided you in my short time with the board, but my predecessors and the assistant attorney generals in the future. If there are any, we would immediately notify you of those changes. And this isn't something that is unique to, you know, the physical therapy board. The licensing and enforcement section represents over 30 state agencies. All 30 plus agencies received similar notification letters. And again, this was just in satisfaction of a new rule that the Arizona Supreme Court promulgated with respect to our code of ethics. And with that letter, I am officially in compliance with that new rule. So thank you. And if anybody has any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. Thank you.
Okay, next up is a legislative update for agenda item 12A3. So as is typical, the season staff has been tracking multiple bills and committee actions, and we have a few to bring attention or to bring your attention to. I've also included some important legislative dates, highlighting the February 21st, 2025 date, which was the last day for consideration in the House of Origin. So House bills considered in the House, Senate bills considered in the Senate, and those that have met the necessary requirements, been reviewed by the necessary committees, had the necessary number of reads in that House of Origin, have now transferred over. So that process in and of itself has a certain level of culling of some of the legislation that's brought forth. If the legislation typically, although as I understand it, and I'm still learning all this stuff, but as I understand it, that there are certain ways that bills can be revived through striker bills and things like that. But at this point, there has been some changes, especially with respect to those bills that were sponsored by the Arizona Physical Therapy Association. You did receive an update, a written update about those bills directly. So, and that includes House Bill 2181, House Bill 2583, and Senate Bill 1346. So in addition to those, Senate Bill 1037 is the Health Board Fund Balances and Fees. So this was brought forward at the January meeting. This is the bill that seeks to amend Title 32, Chapter 32, Article 1 by adding a section regarding board fees and fund balances. So in essence, the bill would require the board to review its fund in a public meeting at least once each fiscal year, and to limit the overall fund balance to not more than 2 years of the board's annual operating expenses plus 5%. And if the fund balance is more than the amount allowed, the board would be required to reduce the or eliminate licensing and application fees or both until the fund balance is below the allowable amount. So this one has passed through the Senate. It's a Senate bill. It's passed through the Senate and it's been transmitted to the House. So there's more to come on this bill eventually. Having those balance limits is a bit concerning, especially when you need to look at major changes such as new systems or, you know, things like that, that don't allow that kind of flexibility or limit that flexibility. So stay tuned. There will be more about that one. House Bill 2049, Administrative Decisions and Security Proceedings and Hearings. So this is the first time I'm bringing this one to the board. So this one seeks to amend Section 12 2022-910 related to judicial review of administrative decisions. So while this section is not specific to the Board of Physical Therapy, it is something that could impact us. It would instill the right to trial by jury in any agency action in which a judgment or order seeks payment from the other party. So I don't know what that looks like in the end, but any kind of transition to a trial by jury will definitely add time to the processes, add costs to the processes, and add, you know, administration to those processes. So what that turns into, I don't know. But that has passed the House and has been transmitted to the Senate. So that one's still moving through. House Bill 2632, regulatory costs, rulemaking, and legislative ratification. So this requires legislative ratification for any proposed agency rule that increases regulatory costs in the state by more than $500,000 within 5 years of implementation. If the Office of Economic Opportunity confirms a proposed rule meets this qualification, the office must submit the rule to the Administrative Rules Oversight Committee at least 30 days before the next regular legislative session. Rules that are not ratified by the legislature are void and unenforceable. So this exempts emergency rules and corporation commission rules. So additionally, the legislature is authorized to eliminate rules that cost taxpayers more than $100 million annually through concurrent resolutions. A similar bill was passed last session and then vetoed by Governor Hobbs, and it was then placed on the ballot on November for the elections, and it did not pass voter elections. So there were a couple of similar bills that were proposed this year. This version passed through the House and has been transmitted to the Senate. If passed, this could have a significant impact on the rulemaking process. It could impact, I don't know if it would, but it could impact things like renewals, depending upon how many licenses we have renewed. It could meet that threshold, although it's not an annual renewal, so I'm not sure how that would be looked at. So, you know, a lot of these bills create as many questions as anything. So just something to keep our eyes on. Senate Bill 1235, the Health Profession Regulatory Boards and Membership. This one was also brought to you in January. And it would impact the regulatory boards by amending the board's membership. There's a typo in here. I didn't actually submit this one to you because it was available last month. But there was changes to this in so much as Senator Shamp, who's the bill sponsor, she held a stakeholder meet on February 14th. Discussion topics included kind of the original intent of this bill and the North Carolina Dental Board ruling, and references to, during the discussion, references to other state regulatory boards who have added or increased the public member representation have done so to a level of 25% instead of 50%+. And another idea that was floated was consideration of board members who are not active market participants, such as retired licensees or educators. So I understand the gist of the North Carolina Dental Board ruling, and it was anti-competitive in nature. So there were concerns brought that way, which is why Senator Shamp indicated that she brought this forward, was to prevent future lawsuits and taxpayer money spent that way. So in those circumstances, if those measures are added to it, the board already has more than 25% of professional members who I think we can all say add a lot to our meetings. So the professional membership, the public members on a board are extremely valuable, as are the professional members. So, this one is to be continued. If it doesn't go through this year, I anticipate it will show up again next year, perhaps amended, perhaps with, you know, more based on the discussion, or there might be more discussions. So I don't know where that one will go, but I wanted to bring it back and just kind of let you know the update. So then there continues to be a variety of bills sponsored regarding the massage therapy board and its continuation and what to do about it. And obviously we're watching that to see where that goes. The ones that appeared to be gaining the most support included a study committee. So the timeframes differ, but the study committee notably includes members of the Senate and the House, as well as representation from the governor's office, the Massage Association, and private post-secondary schools, and also the Massage Board Executive Director. As I understand it, it was said in committee multiple times that the current director, I believe, is aiming towards retirement, and there was mention of a new director coming on in July. But if any of this ultimately passes, PT board representation in attendance to the committee meetings, if they assign a committee, I believe would be vitally important, not only to keep track of it, but to also, report back to the board. So if that comes that way, I might be reaching out to members to see if members are available to attend some of those meetings. As of the writing of this memo, neither bill was heard by the Rules Committee, so it's unclear if either will proceed. I haven't gotten any kind of updates on that. I don't know where that stands, and I don't know the trajectory at this point, but it's something that we're watching. So with that, I'm happy to try to answer any questions and provide any further insight.
Thank you, Judy. Are you running for governor next time? It's like you're really getting good at all of these House bills and Senate bills.
No. Absolutely not.
Really getting good at all of this. You're making a name for yourself.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm trying, but you know, based on some of my colleagues, I am down here, and some of them are, you know, well, this might mean and that might mean.
So. Well, you sound very good to me.
And needless to say, I have some SOS capabilities to ask questions. So, all right. If no questions about that, oops.
Going to Judy, can I go back really, really quickly, just for the board, just for information on Agenda A1 and the licensure pass rates, the reports, mm-hmm. just to give context to that for the board as you're reading those reports and as we continue hopefully to get them. The requirement for accreditation is an ultimate pass rate of 85%. So schools report their first time pass rate and then they report an ultimate pass rate. Students can take the exam 6 times in a lifetime and then they can no longer take it. So I just think it's important when we're looking at those scores to know that first time pass rate, you know, would certainly make the school, I think, a little bit nervous, but they're really held accountable to accreditation by the ultimate pass rate. And that is required to be 85% without going into a probationary status with their accreditation.
So is that going to be a concern for like a school like Franklin Pierce, who has a 55% ultimate pass rate in Tufts?
Yeah. So how it goes is that they write a they submit an annual report every year to the accreditor, and they report these pass rates. At that point, then the accreditor will send back you know, a request for either a summary of action or compliance report, or you know, what is your action plan, and they have two full years to come back into compliance. So then now they're on the watch list, right, for the accreditor. So yes, it could be just a random, we saw a lot of these happen, after CAPD, after COVID, you know, when everybody had to go online and pass rates were really dismal. Some are still recovering from that. But just so you know, as you're looking at it, you know, the first time pass rate can be a little bit scary, but it's really the ultimate pass rate that, that determines, their compliance with accreditation.
Okay. Thanks for that, Kelly.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Additionally, I don't know how this figures into that and to that ultimate pass rate, recognizing that those reports are created on an annual basis. But that annual basis, those individuals who maybe took the December or the October exam and were not successful wouldn't be taking that exam again until the next calendar year. So how though, you know, some of that plays into it too, I'm sure. So, you know, for those individuals who, especially late in the year, who didn't, maybe even the summer exam, who didn't retake yet, mm-hmm. the following. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes. And it's reported by cohort. So by a graduating class. So if someone graduates this year and doesn't retake it for 2 years, they continue to show not passing, and their pass will be reported in the cohort that they graduated from. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to give you that context, because sometimes those numbers can look amazing or sometimes they can look kind of scary.
There's always, you know, there's always ways to look at data.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on how you look at it and what you're looking at it for. So
mm-hmm.
thank you, Dr. King.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or concerns or comments on any of that? Okay. Well, on to the financials. Happy to answer any questions that you have about the financials. I just always think of Mr. Clinton in that section.
Yes. He was so good with that.
Next up are the licenses and certificates. And one of the things, now that we have implemented the AAP, I thought it would be kind of interesting to determine average processing dates of applications. Now, since AAP was turned on in January, of course, we're in that transitional period where we have individuals who have applied. We've had their applications for a time frame, and based on the quarterly examinations, those applications can sit with us for a while until those individuals take and pass their exams. But relative to the January exams, the average processing days for all approved exams was 58.27 days. So that's a good thing. So we'll keep looking at that as we move forward. Any future agenda items?
Not a future agenda item, but just an FYI for Giovanni. I will be out in June. So you have months to prepare.
Oh, I already got my nerves going crazy now.
Yeah, that was the idea.
Good luck, Giovanni. We'll see you then.
I'll send good vibes.
Good.
And with that, unless there's anything else that you want to add for agenda item, future agenda items, next up is adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
I agree.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
That motion passes, and this meeting is adjourned at 11:30, and the recording will stop.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great week.